It's Byline on WFPL News. I'm Gabe Bullard. For the past few weeks, Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher has been pushing for a change in state law that would allow county voters to choose whether to temporarily raise the sales tax to pay for specific improvements, such as crime labs or public transit. Many other cities have this. For instance, Oklahoma City has raised nearly $1 billion in the last 2 decades through a local option sales tax, but the concept has its opponents. To discuss the issue, I'm here with WFPL political editor Philip Bailey, Carmen Hickerson from GLI, and on the phone is Representative Steve Riggs of Louisville, co-chair of the Local Government Committee. Thanks for being here, everyone.
Hey, Gabe.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Gabe.
All right. Philip, I'll start with you. The city certainly could use some extra revenue.
Yeah, given over the past few years, the deficits that the city has faced, additional revenue is something that, you know, city leaders look for across the country. I mean, cities really are at the crunch of all this, especially now that stimulus money has run out, is no longer available. You know, the federal government makes cuts, pass it on to the state. States makes cut, pass it on to the city. So we talk about Louisville, we've obviously have some other financial issues, the structural imbalance and the firefighter settlement. So, you know, Mayor Fisher coming into office certainly has thought about and talked about additional revenue, new revenue outside the norm of raising the taxes that are already in place.
And Carmen, GLI supports the idea of a local option?
Well, I think I'd like to frame up the conversation not so much about creating new revenue as much as about how important it is to think about what we want our city to be. What is the vision that we have for Louisville going forward? And what are the projects or the programs that we would like to see happen that over the years we haven't been able to do because the money hasn't been there? I'd also like to say that the way that the local option sales tax works normally is that it doesn't just go into a general fund. It's not just a matter of just raising additional revenue. It is generally tied to a specific project or projects, and that is approved by voters on a local referendum. And if they don't buy into that vision and they don't buy into what those projects are, then it doesn't pass. But 88 out of 100 communities of the largest cities in the country use this tax, and we see example after example of cities that have been able to transform themselves and really create the kind of place that people want to live and work by utilizing a tax like this.
Is this the best way to turn Louisville into the sort of city that would be the most attractive to new residents and businesses?
I think it's a big piece of the whole. You know, we at the Chamber and also leading economic development for the city, we see our competitor cities who are able to put these quality of life things into place. And these days, the economic development game is really about the challenge to get talent. It's where people want to live. And companies will locate where there are people who are ready to work, an educated workforce. And talent looks for quality of life. And they want those civic amenities that attribute to that quality of life. And this is one way that we can add to our portfolio of what we have and what we know to be a great quality of life here in Louisville.
And this would come through the sales tax, which is often criticized, though, as being a regressive tax. It's something that's taxing consumption that's going to hurt low-income residents more. Why not just raise other taxes in the city that maybe are not quite as regressive?
Well, the Kentucky Constitution is fairly limiting to what cities can use in terms of raising revenue. And we are over-reliant on the occupational tax, which is essentially a personal income tax at the local level. We are already extremely high when compared to our competitive cities on that tax. So when you add the 6% personal income tax for the state and the 2.2 in Louisville, that puts us at the very top tier of our competitor cities. In addition, when you have when you're trying to attract that talent and you have a very high personal income-based tax, those two things work against each other. When you compare us to our competitor cities on the sales tax, there's room in there. And even if we were to enact as much of as a penny as a local option sales tax, we would still be somewhere in the middle of our competitive set.
And politically, that's a chief concern, particularly among Republicans, is that you already have the occupational tax, you have the property tax here in Jefferson County, you have the health insurance premium tax. So the question is that going to add something that's already in place to more taxes? Because as Ms. Hickerson pointed out, I mean, of the 100 top cities, 88, has been the number that I've heard. You see that the local sales tax option is there, but the difference is that some of those other cities don't have other taxes. For example, Nashville because the state of Tennessee doesn't have an income tax, there's a tax that's taken away. So the resistance to this politically is really the question that comes down to it at this point. Is it politically feasible for a local sales tax option to be on the table when you have a situation to where this would have to be passed by the General Assembly, voted on by the entire state, even if it was just applied to Jefferson County or Fayette County? People from other parts of the state would have a say-so, and they may not buy into that idea that the Louisville mayor has.
And Representative Riggs, I want to bring you into this conversation, since it would have to clear the General Assembly. What are the odds of that?
Well, they did mention these other cities that have a local referendum, and quite a few do, but they're not in Kentucky. Kentucky's constitution prohibits this. So the political wall that you would have to climb, and a wall without any ladders, would be very, very difficult here in Kentucky. I think a better approach than having a new tax would be one to try to put together a program in which you get more of the tax dollars you've already sent to Frankfort back to use in your local community. That we've talked about that, but that's never really been organized. It's in the beginning of conversations between metropolitan mayors, but there's never really been a structure to go to sit down with the governor and to go sit with the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate and say, we send too much money there, we don't get our fair share back. Let's get some of that back.
Right, this is a complaint we've heard a lot in Louisville. What is it, about 50 cents on the dollar comes back to Louisville?
Give credit to Mayor Fisher for launching into this and igniting this conversation that really started the mayoral campaign back in 2010, which was the complaint from many Republicans and Democrats in the city alike, is that we see our tax dollars here in Louisville, which is the economic engine for the state, going to sparsely populated parts and rural parts of the state. Why aren't we seeing more of that tax dollar come back? So the idea of where is the revenue that we already have in place, is it being used wisely enough? This was a criticism during the library tax referendum debate back in 2007. That was different, obviously, because state law gives cities the right to create specific service districts, like a fire district tax. So that's very different than this conversation. But still, the underlying argument from opponents of the library tax was, are you using the money that's already in place adequately enough? Why levy a new tax altogether? But certainly, I think, as Ms. Hickerson's pointed out, this is something that other competitive cities, the vast majority of other competitive cities, have. The difference is that those other competitive cities are not in a state. Kentucky is one of the few states that does not allow a local sales tax option.
Right. We have a constitutional amendment prohibiting it. So while we can look at the other cities and say they do it, they didn't have this political wall to climb of a constitutional amendment, which you only get a crack at those maybe once or twice per session. Very, very difficult to do. I do find it interesting that so many conservative leaders in Kentucky are interested in this new potential sales tax, because I've seen the conservative columnist in the newspaper sort of defend it. I have seen the chamber leaders that are intrigued by the idea. And actually, this is not a new idea. There was a piece of legislation in 2008 that was proposed to do this. It didn't get much media coverage. It was a Lexington area legislator who did it. It was assigned to the Elections and Constitutional Amendments Committee. It was heard, but it was never voted on because it didn't have enough support, if any support, to be voted on. And then before 2008 and 2006, there was a task force when Governor Fletcher was there, you know, our last Republican governor, and that task force, in his report, said that that part of the Constitution, it's actually Section 181, probably needs to be, I think the wording was changed or altered in order to give cities this kind of idea to work on.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of things not passing, and Philip, you mentioned the library tax as well, the failed referendum a few years back. What is the hope, actually, that if the local option goes through in the situation that the Constitution would be changed, the state Constitution, what are the odds that some of these local referendums could end up passing?
Well, we don't know. I mean, I think that's the real question. It depends on what the local sales tax option, what the focus would be. Would it be public transit? Would it be, as the mayor said, a forensics lab? Would it be the libraries? That honestly might depend upon the political will and the push of each particular campaign.
Mm-hmm. I think Representative Riggs is accurate in saying that making a change to the Constitution is not an easy task. But I think that the message really, I mean, this is a multi-step process. And the first step in the process is for the legislature to allow it to be put on the ballot on a statewide basis. And then there would be a statewide ballot initiative to change the Constitution to allow it. Then there would be a decision made, whether it be a group of community leaders or if the mayor convenes a group of people around talking about what we want that vision to be and what those projects would be. And then there would be a local referendum. And I think that what it really comes down to is give the people a choice, give the people the opportunity to say what they're interested in. And I think that we feel like that the beginning part of this discussion about putting it on the ballot, let us at least have the option to do it. Let's at least change the Constitution and allow us to have the option to do it. And from there, every citizen has the right to voice how they feel about it.
And we see, once again, the consistent tension between Louisville and Kentucky, the city and the state. And for many, the question is, and I don't know if the tax commission has commented on it publicly, but former Mayor Jerry Abramson is now lieutenant governor. Mm-hmm. He's the one running this blue ribbon commission. So there are some who are wondering if the political pressure from Louisville is enough to force the state legislature to allow this to be on the ballot in the first place. You have already seen Mayor Fisher come out for it publicly. I'm not sure how much he's lobbied the Jefferson County delegation. Some have been critical of it, like State Senator Julie Denton, who's a member of the Jefferson County delegation. So I don't know how much pressure and lobbying efforts the mayor's office has put into it, but there hasn't really been a political strategy that's been put out by the mayor other than him saying, well, I want this local sales tax option. There's no vote count. There's been no question of is Lieutenant Governor Abramson in behind this,
right?
And is he lobbying for the effort? So while everyone's talking about it, there's been no political calculus put out there for the public to consume to say, is this even feasible to climb that wall in the first place?
Well, you know, the idea that Governor Fletcher said that we need a more flexible tax structure in that task force in 2006, and this very same bill, well, close to it anyway, it didn't have any cap to it, but didn't get any play in 2008. What has changed between then and now to make anyone think that this has better than a,
right,
than a 1% chance?
And is we just have 1 minute here, but is GLI planning any sort of legislative push?
This is a priority for our organization. It's a priority for our community, and I think you will see us talking very actively, not only with the legislature, but with the citizens. And I think that once people understand what it is and how it works and what the possibilities are, if you had something like this in place, we believe that people will get behind the ideas they have in other communities.
All right, and that's all the time we have for this discussion. Thanks for being here. Carmen Hickerson from GLI, Representative Steve Riggs, and WFPL political editor Philip Bailey. Thank you.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, and when we come back on Byline on WFPL News, a look at the Ark Encounter theme park, what's next, and what may or may not be happening with it.